Today's scripture lessons come from Proverbs 16:4, Romans 11:36, 1 Corinthians 10:31, Romans 3:23, and 2 Corinthians 3:18. Proverbs 16:4 says, "The Lord has made everything for his own purposes." Romans 11:36, "Everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power, and everything is for his glory." 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." 2 Corinthians 3:18, "As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, guys. Emily, up as we go to God in prayer and prepare to hear God's word. Lord, we are here today. We thank you for your presence in our lives. Lifting each one up this morning with medical issues, with challenges in their lives, with pain and hurt and loneliness. Lord, we come to you today asking your gift of life, your gift of presence, your gift of hope. We thank you for this beautiful day. And I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts in our hearts will be acceptable to you, great Father, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had a day when you ask yourself, where am I? Who am I? Where in the world am I going? You ever have days like that? Yeah, we all have days like that, don't we? You know, something that is so important for us to remember as we gather in the house of God is that everything is here for God's own purpose. And this morning, as Rob read so beautifully, thank you for sharing God's word for us. The Lord has made everything for his purpose. That's Proverbs 16, verse 4. Everything that is here, everything that is on earth, there is a divine purpose for it. And the primary purpose and the primary reason for everything is for glory to God. And it's giving praise and thanks and glory to God. The Bible says in Romans 11:36, everything comes from God alone, and everything lives by his power, and everything is for his glory. It all comes back to the glory for God. This helps us understand why the Apostle Paul said these words in 1 Corinthians 10, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, we are to do it to the glory of God." And anything that we do not do for the glory of God, or anything that we do that is with a selfish motive, or something that is for me or for myself type attitude, that is a thing or a time or an event or something that is wasted. Because we are to be giving God thanks and praise at all times. And if you don't do that, it's a waste of time. The essence of sin is to fail our lives in living in a way that gives glory to God. If we hear the words from Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. When we understand in our lives what our purpose in life is, and then we can focus our energies on these purposes and focus our lives on a direction or a path, we will find that we will maximize success. And when we find if we do these things, we'll have a greatness of achieving goals that we have set for ourselves and the Lord has set for us within our lives. A success in business, a success within our lives, in athletics or sports or at school or in a marriage. It's to be focused on the course that we want to go. To have a focus, have an idea. Where is it we want to go? As a follower of Jesus Christ, we've got to be different from the non-followers. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we have to live our life in a way that attracts people. Last week I talked about how we are to be attractive to people. And when people see the way we are and the way we act and we care for each other and the way we love one another, it makes people want to come and be part of this family. And this is what it means to have a life different than those that are not believers. Are we doing what God intends in our lives? Are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we being what God wants us to be? And then the question is, if I'm doing that, how well are we doing it? What kind of job are we doing? Now, it may sound like a long sermon, but I got 5 points. But they're all each under 3 minutes. So.
You said 15 minutes.
Huh?
They're each under 15.
Are there any games today?
Yes.
What time?
11:37.
Huh?
11:37.
Well, I assure you, I'll have you out before the Cowboys lose their next game. All right. Point one. Life is not about us. It's about Him. It's about God. The church is not about us. How many times do we find in church that people think it's about me or it's about myself or my social group? The church is to be about God. We are put here not to pacify ourselves. We are not put here to glorify ourselves. We are here to glorify God. And that's why the first order of business in our life is to worship God. To worship God in His holiness. To worship God in the blessings that we have in our lives. To worship God. Now, worship is a real churchy word. That's thrown around a lot. Worship, worship, worship. Probably the most misunderstood word there is. When we talk about worship, some people think worship is praising God. Some people think that worship is singing to God. Some people think worship is praying to God. Worship involves praising God. And it involves singing to God. And it involves praying to God. But worship is more than that. Worship is an event that takes place not just every Sunday morning for 1 hour. It's something that takes place in our life every day. It takes place every minute of our day, every step we take. We are to worship God every day as part of our lifestyle. And so often we think, well, I have to get to church on Sunday at 11, but I don't need to do anything until next Sunday after 12 noon. The Bible says, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. From Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. In other words, it's not about our works. It's not about our busy schedules. It's about taking time out to worship God and to give Him all the thanks. Worship comes before service. Worshiping God comes before our work. None of the things that we do need to come in front of glorifying God and our worship to God. And this is something that we develop in our lives. We glorify God. Glorifying God. Giving God the thanks. Giving God the praise. Giving God the honor. We glorify God. Now point two. That wasn't 3 minutes, see? All right. Point two. Following Jesus. It's not a matter of just believing. But it's also part of belonging to the family of God. God never intended for the strongest Christians to be loners or to be by themselves. God has designed us for fellowship. When we are in God's family, we are part of a family and we're put together to have fellowship with one another, to get together, to talk, to pray, to cry, to have pain and share that pain together as the body of Christ. Matthew 28:19 says, Jesus gives what we call the Great Commission. And what is the Great Commission? It's to go into the world, to go everywhere and reach everybody and make them disciples. Go to all the nations and make them disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I, God, have commanded you. Baptism is not just a symbol of salvation. It's a symbol of fellowship. And sharing a few weeks ago with David, we were talking at lunch, something that we don't really think about, and David brought this out to light, David Edwards, is talking about how when we are baptized in the faith, we are also being claimed. We are being claimed. And when Jesus was being baptized, God spoke and said, "This is my Son who I'm pleased." And what was God doing? He was claiming his Son. And when we baptize an infant or a person gets baptized, what are we doing? We're claiming that child or that person to be part of our family. And at the same time, that person is claiming us as their family. And this is what it means to be part of the family of God and to have fellowship and to be claimed. And when we have fellowship, we gain. When we have salvation and we have our claiming and we have our faith, we gain things. We gain fellowship when we're part of the body of Christ. We gain wisdom. We gain encouragement. We gain the ability to minister to other people. The purpose of being a church is to be able to minister to those around us and to experience fellowship. Number three, discipleship. From the moment that we are born into the family of God, God wants us to grow. God wants us to do new things, to gain knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowledge of what He wants us to be within our lives. And as we grow within our faith and we grow in our lives, we begin to mature. And as we grow and we become new people, He wants us to grow in that relationship with Christ. Colossians 1 verse 28 says, "We continue to preach Christ to each person, using all wisdom to warn and to teach everyone in order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature person in Christ." God's will is for every one of us to grow spiritually as we grow in our faith. Many times people want things to happen overnight. We see our journey is a lifelong journey. Our spiritual maturity is something that happens over time. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, people go to school for several years to learn and grow. It's the same thing in our walk with Christ. We mature and we change. How many here are the same they were, I hope not, 10 years ago? How many are the same today as 10 years ago? We're not. We change. Life changes. We have things happen. We mature, we change, and this is what we are to do in the body of Christ. We grow closer to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord works within us, and we become more and more like Christ and reflect His glory even more." It all comes back to the glory of God. The glory of God. To praise God, to give thanks. Praising God in everything that we do. Number four, giving through our ministry. 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of us a gift, a variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so God's generosity can flow through you. We need to use our gifts in a proper way, right? We need to use them in a way that God will bless us. We all have unique gifts. Each one of us has a talent or a skill or a different gift and ability that we can do. We're all wired differently. Just think how boring it would be if we were all wired the same. Each one of us has a different gift. Each one of us has a skill. And we all have a different way to do things. Anything that God gives us power to do, we have to remember, is not for our own selfish motives. It needs to be to glorify the kingdom. And it's meant to glorify what God has given to us. And that is to touch one another. Anything that God gives to us is a blessing. And we need to take that blessing and share that with other people. And that's the power of what we have through ministry. A blessing so we can touch people, bless people. We're all in the serving business. We're all in the serving business. We're meant to meet people's emotional needs, their physical needs, their spiritual needs, and relational needs. Very important. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, we hear, we are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Equipping. Somewhere we've gotten the mistaken idea that we come to church, we sit, we sour, we do nothing, we come back a week later and do the same thing over again. And how long does it take for milk to sour when it just sits there? How long does it take for a person just to sit there and start to sour? We come in, we sit, we sing a song or two, and we leave. But what about getting involved? What about being involved where we serve and don't become sour? We serve and do things that God has called us to do. If we want to be happy in our lives, we need to look at not who can serve us, but how can we serve people? How can we touch people? And I hope and I pray that as the body of Christ, when we have visitors come and people visit our place and our church and our family, that we meet their needs and they want to come back. It's so important. Number 5, so I told you we'd be out by 12. Yeah, we're Methodists. We keep it before 12, you know. So we have to get before all the Baptists get to the cafe, right? So they get there at 12:15. So, okay. The Great Commission, evangelizing, is we are to, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Jesus called himself the light of the world. The light of the world. In John 8, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, we put lamps on our homes, on our nightstands. And if we put that lamp on the floor, will it light the entire room by all the stuff it blocks it? No. But if we put that lamp on the dresser, or we put it up on the counter, we turn the light on, it'll light the entire room. There's nothing worse than when the only light in a bedroom is on top of the ceiling, you can't reach it, and you don't have a lamp. Think about that. You put a little lamp in there, but if you put the lamp at the side of your bed, it's not going to light the room, right? You put it on top, the whole room lights. This is what it means in the body of faith. The body of Christ is we are to be a light. And people see us. We see the light. People see our light, and the light shines. And I've got this little thing up here. I wish it would light the whole room. Anybody see that? You know, yes. Can you see it?
Yes.
Pretty cool. I wish it was bigger. But you know, we have little lights everywhere. Flashlights on our phone. But if you put that flashlight real low, you won't see it. You put it up high, everybody can see it. God has called us to be a light of the world, where everybody can see us, what we can do. Do we want to be happy in our lives? Do we want to be able to be blessed? Well, it also means in our lives to evangelize. And if we take that light and people can see it, that makes a difference. We hear the words in Matthew 5:14. When the light shines, he says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand and gives light to all of those in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that you may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, it comes back to glorifying God. Glorifying God. We see everything keeps coming back to glorifying God. And there's nothing that brings God more glory and more honor if we can do what we can to help bring other people to Jesus Christ. Is there a greater privilege than knowing God or loving God or living for God? Life is short. And life is temporary. So let's not waste our lives on focusing on things that do not matter for eternity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.